You got a few minutes more. Well, let's begin in prayer together. Our Father, we pray for grace and for wisdom to understand your word once again. We pray that you will open our understanding, give us that illumination that we need to have to read your word meaningfully. We pray for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, now we're going to take a look at the book of Deuteronomy now, and we are now looking at chapter 6. Okay, and this is important for us to understand. Okay, now the commandments had already been declared, had been stated. Okay, now this is what it is. How do you apply it? What do you bear in mind when you read the Lord's word? There's always the contents, that content is in chapter 5 already given. What's it all about? What's it for? What is the end point of it all? This is a commandment, of course, reference to chapter 5. These are the statutes and judgments the Lord had commanded to teach you. Okay, now this is what we have. It is in chapter 5. All right, this is Deuteronomy 5. Commandment, statutes, judgments. So no need to repeat too much of that. That is chapter 6 and verse 1. Okay? So this is over here. Okay? So now look at the word that. And look at the word, first part of it, that. Okay? This is important for us. And the word that. The word that is always, in Greek we call it a hina word. It tells you there is a goal towards, there is a purpose, there is a definite end to it all. It's never given for fun. All right? There is a simple, the idea of that, and three of them are to be noted. So this is where we look at it, the written for a definite purpose, and the word is that. Now, that is important. Okay, it's a little bit of a pun there. I hope you didn't catch it, but there we go. Okay, why is it important? So we know where we're going to go with it. Okay, first and foremost, and this is Proverbs 1:7-2. To be repeated again and again and again, the fear of the Lord. This is Psalm 19 as well. After describing all that the Word of God can do, and then the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. One of the hardest things to do, when we read the Lord's Word, we cannot but stand in awe of what it's all about. Because the Word of the Lord reveals who God is. Right? This is important. As we think about it, this is how it must work for us. Okay, we've been looking, memorizing Psalm 111, at least a few verses, 2 and 3 and 4, this week was 6. If you read Psalm 111, which is the message of 6th of August, you begin to realize what the Word of God is all about. And if nothing else, Psalm 111 has a beautiful conclusion, fear the Lord. It is very, very hard. The fear of the Lord, after the thunder and the lightning, they are over. You can forget. No matter how dark the clouds may be, no matter how horrible the storm, it will become a memory. after a while. The challenge is to ask, remember, what is it all about? Fear of the Lord. Now, take a look at this very carefully, and we'll see this whole idea that you may fear the Lord. And in fearing the Lord, you keep His statutes, rather than the other way around. Okay, but let's take a look at Psalm 19. You see this in greater perspective. Okay, Psalm 19, and we read. And we say, the law of the Lord is perfect. True, it converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing at the heart. Right? So there we have the commandments, the law, the testimony, the statutes, all there. And then we read, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. This is Deuteronomy 6, right? And then in verse 1, fear of the Lord. Very clearly stated, together with the Word of God. So if we read the Word of God, and we do not end up with the fear of the Lord, have we really read the Lord and understood it? We can't say we have. It's not knowledge. It is what is produced in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. Do we actually fear the Lord? These things were there, given, stated, so that what? We may fear the Lord. First goal. Do I practice the fear of the Lord? Now that is something that we must think about very carefully. What is this? The fear of the Lord is there. Right? So if you were to think about these things here, then you begin to understand what it is. Right? So this is Psalm 19 and verse 8. Fear of the Lord. Now this is something that we ask ourselves, do we actually fear the Lord? And most people don't. The works of the Lord, let's go back quickly to it, Psalm 111, so that we just take a look at a little bit of a preview there. 111 verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. 111 verse 10, Deuteronomy 6 verse 1, Psalm 19, verse 8. Proverbs 1, 7. You have a whole plethora of things here. What is it all about? We fear the Lord, first and foremost. The problem is we don't fear the Lord, and that is a big problem. So if we study the Lord's Word, reread the Lord's Word, and we do not end up with the fear of the Lord, somewhere along the line, we've misread it, misunderstood it, misapplied it, not comprehended it, because it should be generated. Right? Now, this is important for us to look. Right? In Mark chapter 4, in verse 28, we read, sower went forth the soul, and then it sowed, and then we read, and the seed sprouted by itself. And the word by itself is actually in Greek called automate, which is in English automatic. This is Mark 4:28, automatic. It should be there. If we read the word of the Lord, if it's sown in automatically, I fear the Lord. Right? All the things that the Lord has said in His word, how can I not fear the Lord? I must learn to fear the Lord better. Well, that is the first of it all. Not the blessings, not the promises, not this, not that. Just the fear of the Lord there first. And that is an important thing to establish. Right? So do I say the Lord appeared to the people, spoke to the people, warned the people, let them hear His voice. To do what? To create this fear of the Lord. Unfortunately, we fear everything else but the Lord, which is unfortunate, but this is important. So this is an important that idea, okay? 6, and we read very carefully. that you may observe. So 6:1. Okay, you observe in the land you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord. Right? So these statutes are for the purpose of being kept in the land. These commands, judgments, everything else, to be there to fear the Lord, and they go together. You can't separate them. If I really fear the Lord, I will keep them. If I keep them, I will fear the Lord in the land. Otherwise, it won't make sense. I mean, this is important. When you go to you go to a nice place there, you know, I whenever I walk to those places, you know, shopping mall and things like that, and they'll say, you know, they put a nice little sign. Nice to look at, nice to hold. If you break it, we consider it sold. Wow, those are the places where I walk with my hands in my pocket. Just in case. And that is always a frightening experience. Just in case you break something. Why would we want to buy something, then you've broken, and then, you know, you're not responsible for it. Well, that is going to be a real... I would walk very carefully. Why? I fear buying something which was already broken. And maybe it was already nearing the time to be broken, and I went and poke it, and it actually was a final poke, and it... But it was somebody else actually damaged it, 3/4. Mine was only 1/4. I still am responsible. You were there. Okay, sold. I just don't want. So I just, if possible, I'd rather not walk there. Okay? And our story was told of a small boy. He was bored. The parents, so we had to see the museum. You know, 6-year-old boy, he got bored like anything. What on earth is this all about? So the boy was told, okay, go and find a little place. Go and sit down somewhere, okay? We'll come and see you later. Okay, we'll find you. So their parents went to look around, look at this museum, wow. Suddenly, alarm bells rang all over the place. See, the boy did find a place to sit. He can sit very comfortably. Nobody else wanted to sit there, so he sat there. And he had crossed the ribbon there, you know, the little barrier there, do not cross. He thought, what is this? I'm only a small boy, I walk underneath it. And it was a Louis XIV chair. And there he was found, his legs over the armchair, the armrest there, and lying down there, having a good time. The alarm bells rang. Obviously, the little boy does not fear what will happen. This is an antique piece. How much does it cost? Only £750. Ouch. And there he was sitting there. He does not know how to fear. Well, that's what happens. If we know how to fear damaging this, do not touch. But of course, when you get wet paint, somebody will touch. Sure. Is it true? You're told not to touch it. Must touch. Wet cement. Kilroy was here. Somebody has got a... China, go to Egypt, right down there, the Chinese name down there on the... This has become a little bit embarrassing, unfortunately. Right? So this is something that we all understand and appreciate. So this idea of the fear of the Lord, if I really have any regard or fear of the Lord, would I do it? Nope. I would not. This must be a basic regard. Obviously. I mean, everybody practices these things here. Right? In Japan, even more, they put a mask there. And everybody is masked. What it is? Well, that's except in Montana, there's a law. You cannot put anything over your face like that. You'll be arrested. Literally, that's one of those strange laws which are found in very, very peculiar laws in some of the states. Very funny things. Okay, but the point of all is regard. Right? We learn how to regard things. Otherwise, we don't know how to appreciate them. Right? So this is absolutely important. We regard the things which are there. Obviously. Unfortunately, we take a look at the Word of God, we read it, and then if we dissect it wrongly, we teach it wrongly, where is your fear of the Lord? If you really fear the Lord, it will affect the very way you read it. You affect the very way you prepare. Did I say it right? Fear of the Lord. I cannot keep that which I don't understand. Do I really fear the Lord? How should I read the Word of the Lord? I can't. I cannot read a New Testament without opening my Greek text. I can't. I wouldn't dare. Why? I fear the Lord. All you need is to just go off it, and I'm going to regret it. And I'm not going to do that at all. And you watch it very carefully. How do you practice it? Fear the Lord. Right? I want to observe it. I want to keep it. This is the Word of the Lord. That if I don't even understand it, how am I going to be able to do it? I can't. Right? So this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully and ask. This is right from the beginning. After this chapter 5, first word, fear the Lord. You go to the land, keep the land. Keep the law in the land. How do you do it? Why do you do it? Fear the Lord. Why? Because the Lord said so. Right? Because that's how it works. So fear of the Lord is taught all over the place. In association with the Word of God, Psalm 19. In association with the works of God, Psalm 111. Both are found here in Deuteronomy, obviously. The works of the Lord, the Word of the Lord, in combination, we don't fear the Lord. Something's wrong. Now, that is the whole idea. So how do we fear the Lord? We should. Right? So this is important for us, and we must understand this. And this is very, very important for us. So sometimes in typing, you be careful, because as I was just telling the class one day, see, if you want to put the Lord forgives sinners, and you put don't put S, A-S-D, you put down the S, you put D, dinners. All you need is a little letter off. The whole thing is gone. So you've got to be very, 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 very careful. So if the date is wrong, 17, 18 July, not too bad. The world is not lost. But when it comes to the Word of God, you've got to be very, very careful. Unfortunately, sometimes spell check is a real problem. So there was one joke that was told, this person was sitting, go to school in America, and there was a religious, thing here. So there was a quiz, and the answer was Joseph of Arimathea. So the little girl right around Joseph of Arimathea, So spell check corrected it for her. It came out Joseph of aromatherapy. So spell check can go wrong because they don't have a Joseph of Arimathea, but they have aromatherapy. They spell it for you. Oh, that's really bad. But can it happen? Yes. They have no regard for these things here. So sometimes you do spell check, and you rely too much on spell check, which I do sometimes. And, it's wrong, man. It's not what I meant. And then they change it for me. It's not what I meant. You gotta go back to it. And then they make it red. Who cares? Or they put double lines down there. Who cares? Okay? This is something that is important. Do you learn to fear the Lord above spell check? And this is important for us to understand. And so this is the fear of the Lord. Okay, that you may fear the Lord to keep. Now, how do you express that fear of the Lord? To keep. Right? So this is, there's a technical reference, the idea of the... So there is a kinah there. That is to give you a note. It's also an estor. This is towards this thing here. This is towards an end that you may keep. So it doesn't end there. Okay, I fear the Lord in my heart. Not good enough. I fear the Lord in my mind. Not good enough. I fear the Lord how? You express it by keeping the Lord's word. And if we don't keep the Lord's word, don't care what you say, you don't fear the Lord. No matter how you want to look at it, I think that's important. Right? So the story was once told of a person in China and how he had been skipping paying of bus rides for years. He just wait until the last moment. The conductor wants to collect money, he will get off. Then either he will wait for the next bus if it's too far away, or just walk the last part of it. He doesn't want to pay. And then one day he came to know the Lord. Now, it's many years. What did he do? He went to the bus company and said, I have not been paying this for years. This is what I owe you. He took the whole sum of money. This is what I owe you. Now, of course, the bus company will have problems accounting for their money. But at least he did the right thing. Right? And this is important for us. But we need to look at this. Okay? So this is what we mean. You've got to keep it, I mean, with all your heart. Two friends were talking together one day. Again, here, these are all U.S. stories. It's funny stories. And one said, wow, I had insurance payout. My house burned. So he was very happy. So the second one said, I also had a big payout. My house flooded. I was caught in a flood. So the first person said, how you flood your house? You didn't get that one, huh? You see, you flood your house for some reason, insurance pays you. It's a different story. When you burn your house, it's gone. So he asked, how you flood your house? So that was obviously was an intended problem. You know, he just wasn't found out. And that's unfortunate. See, that's not how we keep the Lord's word. If we really want to do it right. Keep. Otherwise, it's just going to be so wrong. Right? So this is the whole idea. So look at all the that's which are there, which I command you. And then went on further. You, your son, grandson, all the days of your life. Wow. Now that is a very difficult extension. Okay, yourself, your sons, grandson, three generations. That is going to be challenging. Try it. That your days may be prolonged. Wow, that is the other that. That's God's that. That's your that. Right? We ought to be indebted to God to do that. Otherwise, we're sunk. We're not serious about this whole idea of understanding the commandments of the Lord, the laws of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the statute of the Lord. They're not just there to be admired, to be digested, to be dissected, to be exegeted, and then you don't keep it. What's the point? What is the point? If after the end of the day, when I study all these things here, and I am no better, do I fear the Lord? No. Does it affect the way I live? Yes. Does it affect the way I serve? Yes. Does it affect everything? Yes. It must. It was meant to. That's how it must be. Right? Otherwise, what is it all about? Well, that is the whole point of it all and the challenge. Okay? So this is important for us to understand. So there is the fear of the Lord, and this is important for us to consider. Right, so this is where the exhortation part comes in. And we take a look at this, and it's here, O Israel. Now, this is an important part that we need to consider. This is often called the Shema. Okay, this is often called the Shema, and this is something that we, the Shema is just simply from the word hear. Okay, Shema, to hear. Hear, O Israel. First word, hear. All right, this was a word. So every time they come to worship, they often declare the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Meaning to say there are no other gods. Okay, that's what it means. Not that he is one in unitary, but just that he is, there are no other God. There is but one God, that is the Lord. Right? And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. There we go. So now is the word soul there. Heart, soul, strength. How do we do this? Now, this is something that we need to ponder over carefully. How do we do this? Right? So the first part of it is fear the Lord. Second part of it is love the Lord. Can we separate the two? Frankly, no. Right? So there is a part of it. Do we really love the Lord? Then every word is precious. Do we fear the Lord? Well, then let's take a look at what what he says properly. Now, a lot of us assume we love the Lord. Moses doesn't. Knowing the people, he says there are three things to look for when you look for this idea of love. Do you really love God? First, with all your heart. Now, what is the heart? Obviously, it is not a reference to the physical heart, because if we love the Lord with our heart, it should be very small. That's the size of your hand, is the size of your heart. Now, you take a look, this is roughly the size. Some people have a large heart. It doesn't mean you love the Lord God more. It means you are sick. Right? So I love the Lord. I have a large heart. No, you've not been thinking of your health. But that's what it is. So this is something that we need to appreciate and to understand. So what is it? The seat of all emotions we call the heart. Now this is interesting here. And then with all your soul. So the heart and the soul actually are closely related. Because the heart is really the feeling agency of the soul, sometimes called the spirit. So when we talk about the soul here, we talk about how God made man and man became a living soul. Two parts, physical, the other part, this is the part, the soul. Right? And this is an important thing for us. What Paul very later on will call the spirit of man. But in the Old Testament, it is simply called the soul. Meaning to say, the invisible part of it. How do you know your soul loves the Lord? Your heart will tell you. I think this is something that there's a feeling about it. You know, today I discovered that my little granddaughter, at 7 years old, can write little poems. I was absolutely amazed. Really? She wrote a poem about winter. She wrote a poem about spring. She wrote a poem about mystery. Our life is a mystery. You do not know what tomorrow is. It's a mystery. I say, what are you? And nicely arranged. The topic, not this is called free verse. First the topic, if, and then the expression. Another if, another expression. Where did you learn this from? This is pretty amazing. I say, well, of course, I'm delighted. Right? So my heart goes out to her. This is wonderful. She talks about spring. She says, I love spring. Everything comes to life. He talks about all sorts of things. Amazing. So she talks about blue and how blue is a color of sadness. That's why you got Blue Monday. So blue, I didn't register to me. Why is Blue Monday? Because people have the blues. I have the blues. So she said, and I was looking and saying, wow. Now, my heart goes out to her. I feel. My soul is linked. And I say, wow. Of course, there is a special link because, you know, nobody else writes poetry. This is a 7-year-old girl. It took me 60 years to start writing. And this girl writes it at 7. Oh, boy. Well, I want to see. So I wrote to the parents and said, can you see how you can encourage this? I say, wow. Oh, you can understand this. Of course, the thoughts are not all that connected and everything else. But that she knows how to arrange these things all by herself. She actually typed it by herself. And then so I thought, hey, this is quite a clever little girl. She can compose poems at 7 years old. And say, wow. I want to see how far she will go and see how she can expand it further. So I'm going to write her style of poem back to her. You know, just to help her, to encourage her, you know, you can do this better, but very subtly, with little rhymes here and there, just trying to see, send it back to her and see, okay, now this, what are we looking at? Okay, not just to so that she can understand, but I understand where she's coming from. Straight away, I saw, because I read poems, I see this thing and I say, wow, this one has got a lot of potential. First, you must be able to imagine. Second, you must be able to see. Thirdly, you must have the words. Fourth, you must have the composition. Fifth, you must have the style. It's all there. Yes, but this is free verse. This is not your big thing yet. No, far from it. So it's not a big that big a deal. But to be able to compose this thought, and I say, wow, that is pretty fascinating. That is a lot of skill there for a 7-year-old little girl. Right? Now, you understand this whole idea of heart now. Okay, I don't read it with my mind, I read it with my heart. Right? You learn to love the person with the soul. She's far away, thousands of miles. And, you know, there is a connection there. That is what we mean. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. Of course, the strength is the expression of it all. Right? So strength is the physical expression of an inward reality. So literally, the focus is the soul, the heart tied with it, the physical part comes out of it. Now, that's what we mean, that you shall love the Lord. In the same way, you fear. Right? How do you fear the Lord? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Although it is not stated as such, but it is only the external expression. But it has a similar pattern, a similar structure as we understand it. That's how we understand structure. Right? So these are little things we take note of and say, wow, this is something special. This is something wonderful, something to note. Right? This is something that we don't want to take for granted and at all. Right? So this is something that Moses has to remind them. Okay, I reviewed for you how the Lord came to you. I declared to you the Decalogue, the 10 words. I've explained to you the significance. What do you do with it? You got to understand why it was written, for what purpose. That you may keep it. That you may fear the Lord. That you may teach it to your sons, to your grandson. Now, that is a very clear and definite idea. Right? How do you do this? Two things. One, check, do you fear the Lord? Second, check, do you love the Lord? Right? Hear, O Israel, there is only one God. To know, to hear, to obey, to love, to serve. Later on, with all your strength, will be tied in with serving. Chapter 10. Will be verse 12 is about serving. But it's this right now here. We start at the basics. Right? So do I really fear the Lord? Do I really understand it? Well, that's how we want to look at it very carefully. Okay? Now, how do we make a full response? And I'd like verse 7, verse 6 over here. We shall love the Lord. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. It's all tied in. The end connects it. First, hear. Second, love. Third, what happens? It shall be in your heart. Rather than it shall be in your mind. Why do we need to place our heart? Because if in anything, if we don't really love what we are doing, you cannot do it well. It has got to be because you want to. Otherwise, it's just not going to be there possible at all with all your heart. I was reading a testimony of a person who wanted to do skydiving. This person was in Perth. This is some years now. It was a very interesting story. So, you know, actually he has a medical condition. He's not supposed to go and do this. But he's been clear for 10 years. And, you know, he's always, he's not allowed to fly because of this medical condition. So he says, okay, in my interest, I cannot pursue the interest. I'm going to, you know what I like to do? I'm going to jump off a plane. Free fall. So he signed up for courses. So he keeps himself fit, keeps himself strong, attend courses and all that. Wow, 10 years he's been free from his medical condition. So now came the day, he's done tandem jumping, 20,000 feet jump, no problem, perfect. He was called the star pupil. What could go wrong? Now, solo flight, solo jump. He's going to jump. 20,000, green light go, everything conditions go, doors open, jump. And there we go. 21,000 feet in the sky falling down. The speed of coming down, by the way, is 120 miles per hour. 20,000 feet, you're going to be hitting the ground in 20 seconds. Wow. So the thumbs up, yes, he jumped. The trainer was behind him. The trainer has 10,000 jumps behind him. So really first class trainer, no problem, follow. One problem, his medical condition. He jumped. 5,000 feet, 10,000 feet, must open, didn't open. 5,000 feet, he was in danger, he would die. So the trainer saw him troubled, ran towards him, pulled the thing for him. If for further, please correct yourself. Ground crew, correct yourself, you're off course. You're going to hit the hard ground. This is not where you should be. No response, no response, no response. What happened? He had an epileptic seizure there and then. He was suffering from epilepsy. He cannot jump. And then in the last 5,000 feet, he woke up. Where was he? What was he doing? A voice coming. Open the second one. You are off course. You will die. 3,000 feet. Pull the other one. And then he began to control. You're off course. Turn. He was on his back coming down. He should be facing the other way. Wow. And he managed to land. And everybody, all the medics, all waited for him and grabbed him and checked with him. You know, first thing he did, he went to his trainer and said, thank you for saving my life. He never flew. He never jumped again. And you just imagine. That would be a gratitude of love from the heart that you would never be able to give. Because you know, in your desire to do all those things, you risk your life, you could die. You were 1,000 feet down to your death. It may not even open. And so he said, you know, just he went to him, gave him a hug, and said, thank you, you saved me. Look at what the Lord saved them from. Right? From Egypt. 40 years in the wilderness. His provision, his everything is there. The Lord says, now I want you to keep these commandments. What's so hard about that? Shouldn't there be love? Shouldn't there be love at all? Automatically, there must be love. Someone who saved you. How can you just walk away and say, wow, that was a great fall? He couldn't remember a thing. black out completely. How do you do this? Imagine if those few seconds that he had, his life could have just ended. How do you express gratitude? With all your heart. That's how we should thank the Lord, with all our hearts, with all our soul. Thank you. Nobody said, thank you, God, for saving my soul. Thank you, God, for making me whole. We only sing. Where is the reality of that gratitude? We should thank God for all that we have. And once the heart is turned, that becomes the problem. The very thing that is God and His Word, switch off. Disdain. You don't love the Lord's Word. Don't fear the Lord's Word. Why? You cannot. That's why the focus on love is so important. Right? So you've got to look at the four kinds, the fear and the love. They must go together. Right? So this is something that we need to consider very, very carefully. So Edlin wrote to me and said, in order to sign, can we call it audits? I said, no. Spell it out. Two third possibilities. Auditoria, which nobody understands, or auditoriums, which is now acceptable. This is now, it's now no longer, nobody calls it auditoria now, because nobody understands the old way of doing. You know, we don't say aquariums, aquaria. Actually, we should. But, you know, we nobody says so, auditoriums now. Okay, we go, but don't call it audits. Because it's just so many auditors in our church. You know, well, this is audit room. Not so good. So, you know, called auditoriums. Okay, this is what it is. I mean, we take a look at it and we just try to be right about the whole thing. Well, you know what? Let's love the Lord. Let's do it out of love. Right? We're finishing part of it. Don't say, never mind. Let's do it. End it well. Right? Let's end it well. Why not? What about the color schemes? All the same. No, monotonous. Nice color scheme. Change it a little bit. Make it nice. Rather than all the same. Right? Sure, it's all the same. But sometimes it helps to look. Some people cannot read and write. And this is something that we need to look at. Once, many, many years ago, we had a person who came to the family camp just once. The next year, I asked him, are you coming again? He said, no. Jesse, said, you don't like the family camp? No, I like. I like the fellowship, I like the food, I learn. Why don't you want to come then? I said, Pastor, let me tell you my problem. I go up the lift, and I don't know how to tell the numbers. Ground, 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't read. Oh, okay. I won't ask you again. You see, sometimes we take basic things for granted. And a person couldn't read. The person has since passed on. So I can tell you. Right? But the person couldn't read. So I ask the person, how do you remember all the things that you are selling for your company? He says, Pastor, I memorize all the items in my head. I don't know how to use a computer. I cannot read and write. But you ask me where the items, I know exactly. I can do stock check in my head. I say, how many items do you have? Oh, 5,000 items. Are you serious? And you know where everything is? Years of training. That he couldn't read or write. You see, sometimes we just think, see, the Lord doesn't expect us to do things that we cannot do. But love does not require reading. Fear does not require any of these things here. It's just there. There should be love in the heart, fear in the heart. This has nothing to do with literary skills. It has nothing to do with exegesis. It has nothing to do with splitting the Lord right. That is just a basic discipline. Because even if I can do all those things right, and I don't fear the Lord, and I don't love the Lord, what's the use? At the end of the day, what's the use? This is why this basic things had to be there. He's not asking them to be scribes, not asking them to be scholars, not asking them to be great exegetes, not asking them to be great rabbinic people. Just two basic things that you must learn as God's people. One, fear the Lord. Two, love the Lord. What is so hard? See, so Moses was able to distill all those things in these two commands that must be. Okay? Now, if it is real, automatically pass it to your son. Automatically pass it to the grandson or granddaughter, as the case may be. Right? I would love to see how this little girl will advance in poetry. Now, I am just excited. How can I help you to advance it further? I want to show you how you can do it. Okay, I'm going to show you how it can be done. Look at it. And then just help the mind to explore, to learn. And so she says, imagination. She was, one of the poems was imagination. If the sun was orange, if every one of us are flies, if you and I are not there, wow, that one I find hard to understand. He says that the sun is a triangle and not a circle. What does all that mean? I don't know. I don't think she knows either. You see, so these are things we want to explore. And the Lord is not asking you to be wax philosophical. No, it's not about philosophy. It's about basic response. There are two basic responses we must give to the Lord. One, fear Him. Two, love Him. What is so hard about those two, understanding these two responses? Right? And this are things that we want to consider. He says, in my imagination, I think many wonderful thoughts, but they are not real. Okay, well, I can understand the contrast that is there. I can understand the philosophical bent. But this is not philosophy. This is about basic idea, right? Instinctively, from the heart, we should fear the Lord, who has revealed Himself to us. We should love the Lord who has saved us. Right? If we understand what it really means to be saved from death physical, how should we respond to God who has saved us from all the things? Forever trapped in Egypt as slaves to have given to a new land. How can we not fear the Lord? How can we not love the Lord? Automatically, it should be there. Now, that is what Moses was trying to say. Okay? And then how to go about it. This is pedagogy. How do you do this? Right? This is important. You should teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. All these things are there. So this is really more pedagogical. Write them. So there was every part of it, by the way. The modern-day Jews, most of the Jewish homes, there's one Jewish suburb in Perth. Very, very quiet. They all, if you step in it, you know, this is, the whole place is quieter than usual. They have your own synagogue there. You can tell straight away the mezuzah is there. Before they come into the house, they will touch it and kiss it. Before they leave the house, they will touch it and kiss it and go to remind them, this is the word of the Lord. Most of the mezuzah has this idea here, Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5 there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord. Verse 5 is there. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Which we should. How do you teach a child to do a thing? I had a friend over in Australia. He was. We used to use campgrounds, rent campgrounds, and there was this campground there. And this was a person who was he said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist and very proud of it. So we rented the grounds from them for the camp week, church camp then. Then we sat down and we talked and he said, all my children are also follow me. We don't eat certain type of meat. But Australia is a meat eater's land. How do you not do it? They said, well, this is what I do. When they were children, I brought them to a slaughterhouse. I showed them how they kill the animals. And the animals died. They saw the blood, they heard the screams, and the children never wanted meat on the table, ever. I said, well, that's a very cruel thing to do. He says, no, that's the right thing to do. Why? Because he says that is how we practice our faith. By every means possible, we will teach them not to eat those things. This is how I did it. And he was very proud of it. And the children would not eat any of those things. They would not even consider food because it's implanted in their mind. It can't get out of it. But this is not that kind of strategy. This one is, one, practice it. You know, familiarity. Practice. Do it. Every day. Rising up is natural. We speak about God naturally. We think about this naturally. Well, everything becomes a natural process. When we get up and we speak of God, when you rise up, when you lie down, when you walk, naturally, two things will come to mind. We should love the Lord. We should fear Him. This is His word. We should keep it in our heart. That's what it is. These are the four things we need to do. One, two, three, four things. Once it is a part of you, naturally, it will be a part of you. Right? So once you practice it, it becomes a part. This is pedagogy, meaning to say it's how you do it in a very practical manner. There is no way you can cram, memorize this. No use. You're not practicing it. Practice, not cramming. It's a way of life, not mugging, not memorizing. That's what it means. This shall be in your heart. How? What is your method of memorizing? It's not memorizing. I can analyze how you do. It's not. It's what you do with it. Okay? One, my fear of the Lord, if I don't keep His commandments, will worry me. I want to do it. My love for the Lord, I want to do it. Right? If that is true, what do? I practice it. That's what it is. That's how it should be. I put it into practice. You know how, whether it's true or not? When you get up the first thing in the morning, what do? When you rise up, when you walk out, when you go into the fields, when you come back, right? Put a signpost there in the house, you go in, you go out. What do? You become conscious of the Lord. It's an everyday practice. That is how our faith is to be practiced every single day. This is what we train as pastors. Every single day, we read the Lord's Word, we study the Lord's Word in depth, we work with it day in, day out, day in and day out, until it is a part of us to do so. Until then, you haven't got it. I don't just prepare the Lord's Word because I've got a message to prepare. You mean if I don't have a message to prepare, I don't read? No such thing. I fear the Lord. I love the Lord. I'm compelled both sides. I will do it. Left hand, fear. Right hand, love. That's how it works. And it becomes a daily part of your life. That's pedagogical. Again and again and again and again, we learn it, we practice it until that is how it's done. So what God gave to Moses is actually a very tremendously wise approach towards how to hide the Lord's word in the heart. And we forget this, we forget that. You know why you forget? You didn't practice it. It's not a part of your life. That's why you forget. How do you forget? We're not talking about common things we forget. I forgot where my watch is. I forgot my keys. That happens. There's a little lapses of memory as you grow older. This will happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the Lord. I'm talking about someone who has saved us. We're talking about how He has given us His Word. Because there's no other nation like the nation of Israel given this word. That's why Moses tells the people, you tell me, which other nation has the God come near to it? Nobody else has. No nation has such laws. Nobody has such wisdom. This is way back when. And that's what we're seeing. Right? That's what we are looking at. And so we learn to fear the Lord. We learn to love the Lord. And this is how we actually practice it. So the pedagogical part of it is the practice of it all. And we need to consider this. 1, 2, and 3. And they all fit in. Naturally so. If we don't know how to fit this in, we're sunk. We don't understand what this is all about. Right? So if we look at an inclination, you know, we often think that we'll just serve the Lord. It doesn't work that way. The fear of the Lord has to be instilled. So we read this here. Psalm 19, associated with the Word of God. Look at Psalm 111, associated with the works of God. Work a book of wisdom, Proverbs 1:7, it's all there. The fear of the Lord is paramount importance. Together with it as a powerful emotion, part of it, love the Lord with all your heart. You know, we have learned to love food above everything else. We learn to love our life. We learn to love our profession. We learn to love the world. We learn to love money. We learn to love everything under the sun. But we don't know how to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength. And so the Lord has to fight for a place in our heart. It shouldn't be. The most automatic, the most obvious thing is learn to love the Lord. Where would we be if not for the Lord today, where we are? We won't be here. We won't have what we have. How is it possible? The Lord made it possible. The Lord provided. The Lord is there. Throughout all those situations, the Lord is obviously there. Two responses, fear. Two, love. Right? Three, practice. That's what we have. And it's what we need to have. And they all tie in together. They all will fit into each other. 1, 2, 3. Go back to it. Right? These are the commandments, the statutes, the judgments. Right? Listen, hear, O Israel. But they don't hear. Unfortunately. And that is a sad reality. We don't hear as we should. Israel, the church, the individual Christian, the same problem. We don't know how to apply it into our life. But literally, look at it. It's not just theological, it's logical. It's natural, as it should be. But if the results are not the same, we still don't fear the Lord, we still don't love the Lord, we don't practice it daily. Rising up, walking down, sitting down, right, going to rest, going out to the field, coming in, going out. I can tell you, it's not going to work. So you have to have the practical, pedagogical part of it. Right? So theologically correct and sound. We ought to fear the Lord. We ought to love the Lord. We ought to practice it, observe it in the land. Obvious. But where is the problem? How is it that we still don't fear the Lord, we don't love the Lord, and we don't practice it? One or the other will affect the other two. One will affect, obviously, the balance must be struck. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. Okay, think about this. Maddie left a little fidget that I have at home. And it is three-sided. So this reminds me of this. 1, 2, 3. Two, boom, cannot fly. So you need a balance. You need to fear, you need to love, you need to practice. Spin. Whoa, it's nice. See, this is how you remember things. There we go, the three parts to it. One is fear, one is love, one is practice. Now, which one is which? Tell me, which one is which? Can you tell the difference? I can't. They all must be the same. Can I fear the Lord, not love so much? Can't. No balance. If I fear, I love it. Don't practice. Can I do it? No balance. If I practice, no fear, no love, no balance. So when I first tried it, it kept on dropping off. So what's the problem? It's not a feature, it's my thumb. So how do I do it? Cannot, it's my thumb. So I say, how come I can't do it? So I try it again, tomorrow, a little bit braver. Hey, better now, huh? Now I can even experiment with it. I can hold it and I can just spin one and I can just time. Whoa, it lasts more than a minute. And if it goes into slow down, I press it and it carries on again. Then I lift it up again. Hey, I'm experimenting with it. I study it. Which part is not equal? Where is the fear? Where is the love? Where is the practice? Which part? The three fidget things. You know what a fidget is, right? You're playing with it, right? You must try it, Stanley. Try it. That's right. Sell it in a shop. Maybe people will come and buy. But you look at it. And remember this. This is Deuteronomy 6. Remember that. Deuteronomy 6. What is it? You know, it's sometimes it's come differently. And it's just a funny way of doing things. People have different ways a little. You see, sometimes you look in the U.S., certain words are pronounced differently. Okay, C-A-R-A-M-E-L. Three syllable or two syllable? Both. Depending on which part of the states you are in. Is it caramel or is it caramel? Which? Is it herbal or is it herbal? Depending on the states you go to. What shoes you have? Tennis shoes, one part. Gym shoes, another part. Jump shoes, another part. Hawaii just call it shoes. See, it's like one person who asked, his wife quarreling all the way. Went into the airport, customs officers. They were disagreeing. Is it Hawaii or Hawaii? So the person replied, okay. The person is Hawaii. Oh, see, I told you, it's Hawaii. He said, well, thank you very much. You're welcome. You see, so it affects you. How you say the word is who you are, how it will affect you. That's how you study Deuteronomy without all those things here. Don't just study it from the standpoint, well, it's very dull. It's not. So I look at these things, no, one, two, three, right? The fear, the love, and the practice, the pedagogical practice. Which part is which? I don't know. Are they all equated the same? They should be. Same way. If we want to fear the Lord, we want the love and the practice, they must go together. You cannot have one more than the other. You wait one more than the other, the imbalance will be struck. And sometimes it's not a fidget, it's your thumb. It's you. It's not the law. It's not God. It's not His demands. It's just simply you. You didn't practice it. Okay, do it now. Okay, now I've got it steady. So when she comes later on, I will challenge her. See who is going to last longer. So I must practice this more. You know. See, this is heart of love for this little girl. This is loving her with all my soul too. This is what it means, you know. You love the person as completely as you can. You connect in every way possible. That's what it means. The same way with the Lord, even more so. A million times more. You connect with the Lord in the heart, in the soul, in your strength. In His word, in the fear, in the love, in the practice, in the life. Until it's a natural part of you. And that is what it should be practiced. Rather than, oh, this is Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 5, this is Exodus 20, you know. Why? Why can't we practice the way it was meant to be? Hear, O Israel, one God, one Lord, one. How do you relate? Fear, love, practice it. That's it. It's up to us how to figure out how to do it. Well, this is how we want to do it. Right? Until it becomes a natural part of us. Naturally so. Then we learn to love the Lord the way we should. Okay? Think about these things here. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we just want to thank You for the joy that we can have in understanding Your word, and then a challenge to love you and to practice what we have read. Father, we understand all the physical part of how we ought to love the person who has saved us. Sometimes we just don't know how to love you the way we should. We ask you firstly to wash us, cleanse us, forgive us. And Lord, give us hearts that will be able to love you. Give us souls that will be able to appreciate you for the God that you are. And we pray that you will refresh us, encourage us, we pray. Open up your word to us, that we may desire to love you, to walk in your ways, and then pass it on to our children, to our grandchildren too. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here. God bless.